Listing part A, Bill Watkins. In this part of the test, you'll hear a conversation between a nurse and Bill, a man who is about to discharge from hospital. You'll hear the conversation once only in sections. While listening, make notes on your answer sheet about the consultation under the headings given. There will be a short pause between each question. Don't waste time writing full sentences. Use note form. You now have 1 minute to read through the headings. Now look at question one. Take notes on the diagnosis of the condition as well as the causes and symptoms.
Hi, Bill. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling much better, thank you, nurse.
That's good to hear. The doctors think you had a transient ischemic attack. We call it a TIA. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What is it?
Well, let me explain it to you. A transient ischemic attack occurs when an area of the brain loses its blood supply for a short time.
Oh, that sounds serious.
Yes, it is serious. Let me explain further. Generally, it can be preceded by a narrowing of the arteries of the brain, which is caused by a build-up of plaque. Heart attacks occur in much the same way because plaque builds up in the arteries, leading to the heart.
I see.
Sometimes a blood clot can form in an artery because a part of the plaque breaks off. This may lead to a blockage in the arteries of the brain, and this causes that part of the brain to stop working.
Can it be restarted?
Yes, we call it a transient ischemic attack because the brain tries to restore blood flow to the affected brain cells. It can resolve by itself quite quickly, even within a few minutes, but should always be followed up.
So I was right to come to the hospital?
Yes, because it can be a warning sign of a future stroke.
Can you tell me what's the difference between a transient ischemic attack and a stroke?
Of course, that's a good question. As I said, transient ischemic attack occurs when the blood flow is obstructed temporarily. With a stroke, however, the blood flow remains blocked and the brain sustains permanent damage.
Well, that makes sense now.
Now look at question two. Take notes on the risk factors.
Can you tell me what the risk factors are for a TIA?
Sure. A number of risk factors have been identified. For example, high blood pressure is one.
Well, I've been taking medication for that.
Lack of exercise is also considered to be a risk factor.
Yes, I know I should exercise more.
You would be considered overweight, and obesity is another risk factor.
Anything else?
Of course, smoking.
Fortunately, I never smoked.
Overconsumption of alcohol?
Well, I don't think I drink that much.
I'm glad to hear that. It's one less thing you've got to worry about. People with high-level cholesterol are also more at risk.
My doctor keeps an eye on my cholesterol too. He's just put me on Lipex recently.
There are also some risk factors that you can't change. It's just good to be aware of them.
Oh, what would they be?
Age is a factor. Most people who have a transient ischemic attack are over the age of 60.
Yes, well, I'm 76 now.
You're getting up there, Bill. Any prior history of transient ischemic attack is also a risk factor.
You mean it's possible I've had an attack before, but I didn't realise it at the time?
Yes, it's quite possible, but now you have more understanding of what transient ischemic attack is, you'll be able to be more vigilant about your health.
I hope so.
Now look at question three. Take notes on the family medical history.
Family history is also a factor. Can you give me some details of your family's medical history?
You mean my immediate family?
Yes.
Well, my father died of a heart attack when he was...
At what age?
Just 57. And my mother died of a stroke when she was in her late 70s.
Do you have any siblings?
Oh, I come from a big family. I've got four brothers and two sisters.
Are they all still living?
Well, I don't like to talk about it, but one of my brothers had severe depression and took his own life. My younger sister died of breast cancer at just 50.
Any history of diabetes in the family?
No.
Apart from your parents, any history of cardiovascular disease?
No.
Now look at question four. Take notes on treatment and prevention.
Now, I need to talk to you a bit about the treatment and prevention of your condition.
Okay, that'd be great.
The treatment and prevention of transient ischemic attack and stroke focuses on reducing the risk factors. This includes things such as taking medications for high blood pressure and keeping your cholesterol under control.
I'll certainly continue my Notin and Renitec, which I'm already taking.
That's good. Now we also need to look at a heart-healthy diet. Do you know what that involves?
No chocolate.
Well, a little more than that. Firstly, increase your intake of lean meat, fish, grains, fruit and vegetables.
Yes, I think I eat a pretty healthy diet, but I do have a sweet tooth and I like my pastries, jams and of course the chocolates.
What I recommend is that you follow a calorie intake chart, which I'll give you to ensure you are aware of your dietary intake, especially in regards to sugar and saturated fat.
Okay, I'll try.
You also need to stay at a healthy weight. I notice that you are overweight at the moment.
Yeah, the battle of the bulge is always with me.
Most of us struggle with this one. A healthy weight would really have a good influence on your health and especially your blood pressure.
Yes, you're right.
You should have your blood sugar level checked regularly.
Yes, my doctor did mention that on my last visit.
Okay, well, it's important. You don't want to develop diabetes, which is definitely a complicating factor in transient ischemic attack and stroke. The next thing you need to think about is your alcohol intake.
Well, I do have a glass or two of wine with my dinner and the odd scotch as it helps me sleep at night.
Okay, I suggest that you have at least 2 or 3 alcohol-free days a week. Do you think you can do that?
Yeah, I think I'll have to. I really don't want to damage my health.
Good to hear that, Bill. It's also advised that you avoid the flu. Getting a flu vaccine once a year is not a bad idea.
Oh, I do that already.
Great. Please continue your regular medical checkups, even if you're feeling well.
Okay, I will.
Good. It's important that you work with your doctor.
Now look at question 5. Take notes on what atrial fibrillation is, who it affects, and common signs and symptoms.
The other medical condition I'd like to talk to you about is atrial fibrillation, as your ECG and other tests showed that you are suffering from this condition.
Really? I didn't know about that at all.
Yes, a lot of people are unaware that they haven't until something like this happens.
What is it exactly?
It's a little bit technical, but let me try to explain.
Oh, I'd appreciate that.
Atrial fibrillation is an irregular heart rhythm that starts in the upper part or atria of the heart. We refer to this as an arrhythmia.
Oh!
Again, it's common among both men and women, and it's to do with the heart's electrical system, which malfunctions and may cause the heart to beat in an irregular rate.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Actually, it affects about 10% of the population over 70.
Are there any symptoms? Because I didn't notice anything.
Yes, often there are no clear symptoms, but some people experience more powerful heartbeats. Have you had any chest pain?
No.
What about shortness of breath?
No, nothing like that.
Any dizziness or faintness?
Well, sometimes I get a little dizzy if I get up quickly.
Now look at question 6. Take notes on causes and preventative measures.
I'm just wondering, what causes atrial fibrillation?
Again, high blood pressure is a cause, and also coronary heart disease. A previous heart attack can also be a factor. Heavy alcohol consumption is also very damaging to the heart.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Let's talk about the treatment of atrial fibrillation. Your doctor has also decided to put you on a blood thinning medication called Coplavix.
Okay.
You'll need to be especially careful to avoid falls or other injuries that may cause bleeding.
That makes sense.
It's very important to see your doctor for regular medical checkups. The National Stroke Foundation recommends that people over 55 years of age take their pulse once a month and also report any abnormalities to their doctor.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. I can do that for sure.
Now look at question 7. Take notes on the warning signs for a transient ischemic attack.
Now let's talk about the warning signs for transient ischemic attack so that after your discharge, you'll know when to call the doctor.
Thank you.
If you experience any sudden numbness, weakness, or paralysis of your arms, leg, or face, particularly one side of your body, call the doctor or ambulance immediately.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Also, if you have any changes in your vision, for example, blurring or reduced vision in one or both eyes.
Yes.
Or if you have difficulty speaking, understanding, or a sense of confusion, you should see your doctor.
I'll do that.
A sudden headache is also a warning sign to notify your doctor.
Okay.
The other symptoms you need to look out for are any problems with balance or if you have any dizziness, as you mentioned before.
All right.
I don't want to alarm you, but you need to know that a transient ischemic attack is a warning. It means that you may have a stroke in the future. I'm only telling you this so you won't put yourself at risk by ignoring your symptoms.
Oh, I understand. Thank you for all your advice.
You're welcome.
Now look at question 8. Take notes on the reason for admission.
Can you tell me exactly how you came to be admitted this time? Had you experienced any of the symptoms I've been speaking about?
Well, yes, I did. I was out cleaning the pool, as I often do, when I suddenly felt unwell and weak. I just dropped to the ground. I may have lost consciousness, I'm not sure. When I came to, I called my neighbour Des, who luckily was at home. Apparently I'd hit my head and cut my hand in the fall.
That must have been really traumatic.
It certainly was, and I couldn't move, so Des called the ambulance.
It was fortunate that Des called the ambulance immediately so that you got medical attention straight away.
Oh, yes, I'm very grateful for that.
Now look at question 9. Take notes on the discharge arrangements and home safety advice.
Well, I think that you should be ready for discharge today.
That's good news.
Yes, how will you be getting home?
I think I'll walk home. I don't live far from the hospital.
Oh, we couldn't let you do that. Could somebody pick you up?
Well, no, not really.
All right, I'll arrange a taxi for you.
Okay, if you insist. I feel fine, though. Really, I do.
I know, but we need to make sure that you get home safely, okay? Now, given that you live alone, it's important that you take some precautions in case of a significant health event.
Like what, nurse?
You could consider getting a home alert system. There are a number of different ones available.
Well, so what do they do?
Basically, a home alert system involves a small device that you can wear. When pressed, it will send out a call for immediate assistance.
Oh, I could look into that.
You can also arrange for family members or your neighbours to contact you on a daily basis to ensure you are managing.
Well, my family may not be that reliable and I don't really want to bother my neighbours.
I see. Well, you can also register with the Red Cross, who can call you daily at a designated time to check on your well-being. And don't forget to go by the pharmacy before you leave and pick up your medications.
Oh, sure. I'll do that now.
Good. I have also made a follow-up appointment for you at the outpatients department in 6 weeks.
Okay. Thanks for everything, nurse. You've all been really wonderful.
It's our pleasure, Bill. Look after yourself. Goodbye.
That is the end of listing part A. You now have 60 seconds to complete your answers.